Our New Testament reading today continues our readings in the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 3 here, verses 1 through 6. This is the, if you will, the proclamation of John the Baptist. So listen to these words as they come to us from the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod, the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the words of the book of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That's from the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 6, so chapter 3, along with that very beautiful and powerful reading from Malachi. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may God bless us with the Holy Spirit, both in the preaching of the word and in the proclamation of this table, that the things that we say and do this day would find acceptance and go according to God's sight, and that as we are led into this word on the second Sunday of Advent, we might be led out from it once again in order to become the church and the disciples that the Lord has asked us to be. Amen. Well, in 1962, following the Cuban Missile Crisis, a song was written that called for peace, peace on earth, in the face of a world that was threatened by nuclear war. The song was called, Do You Hear What I Hear? And the apex of the song happens when the singer exclaims, right at the end of the song, pray for peace, people everywhere. You did not hear this song in 1962, even if you were alive then. Virtually no one did. What happened was that a young fellow named Bing Crosby recorded it in 1963, and it became a hit. And if Bing is a little too old for you, then remember that Whitney Houston also recorded it in 1990 herself, making it the number one Christmas song that year as well. The first verse in the song, of course, asks about the Christmas star shining in the sky. Do you see what I see? We know that song, right? The question that that wants to push us toward is, do we understand what we're seeing? Do we understand what's happening around us? Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? This year, our theme for Advent and all the things you'll get from the church and out there in the Jane Bell gathering space and in our graphics is called Do You See What I See? Advent in Plain Sight. We're trying to make Advent as accessible and understandable as we can for all of us, to make it plain, to make it to where we can see and understand. Last week, we did our very best to explain the wonder of hope. Today, we are talking about God's promise of peace. God's promise of peace in plain sights, no illusions. And the first thing you have to say if you want to talk about peace plainly is that peace is hard to come by. It is. The lust for power and wealth to dominate other people, to take from someone else what you think ought to belong to you, what's kept war and conflict across the seas and even on our own American streets a constant through all of our lives. Really. I mean, there's always somebody fighting somebody somewhere, isn't there? And yet peace remains the goal. It remains the hope, a very vision for the gospel itself. As Advent is a time of preparation for Jesus, and Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, we Christian folks should always be hoping for peace, praying for peace, and when we've got the opportunity, working for it as well. It's part of who we are and what we do. And so on this second Sunday of Advent, and really every day, every Christian person, every one of us should be praying for an end to gun violence in America, a ceasefire in Israel and Gaza, an end to the war in Ukraine, and all other sorts of places that we could be praying for right now. Peace is simply that important. It is that beautiful. And our vision, our sight is purest when there is peace in our houses, when there's peace in our cities, our country, and around the world. No matter the size or the challenge or the threat, we are supposed to be working and praying for peace. All this is to say that this Sunday is traditionally called Peace Sunday. We're not hiding the outline of what we're going to be doing in Advent in the sanctuary this month. But it's also called Prophet Sunday, because we usually read the prophet Malachi, for he is like a refiner's fire, he is like the fuller's soap. Somebody is coming into the world, according to Malachi, to sort of wake us up, to sort of shake the ground under us that would pay attention to what God is doing. And we also will read on this Sunday, nearly every year, one of the texts about John the Baptist in the Gospels. And John the Baptist, like Malachi predicts, has come to prepare us to receive the Savior in his kingdom of peace. Jesus will bring peace, if only we'll listen to him. Let me say that again. Jesus will bring peace, if only the peoples and the nations of the world will listen to them. The problem is that too many of our brothers and sisters value other things like power and prestige over the value of peace. And when we say prophets, I think most of us think of someone who's come along to predict the future for us, as in the guy that's got the crystal ball. Right? Let's peer into the crystal ball and find out what's going to come next, what's going to happen next. Or the character in the movie that throws the bones. When I was a little kid, I tried to do that, find some old chicken bones, and I threw them and didn't know what I was doing then, and I wouldn't know I was doing it now either. No idea. Those are the kind of things we think you have to be able to do to predict the future. Some people even look to the stars. Some people even look to the heavens for signs to tell us what's going to happen. Here's the thing about all that work, though. Human beings are really terrible at predicting the future. Just, frankly, god-awful at it. Adam Grant is really one of the smartest people in America. He teaches psychology at the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. And he's written many books, and he wrote an article a couple weeks ago that was simply titled, "If You Think That You Know What's Going to Happen the Next 4 Years, You're Wrong." Literally, nobody's got any idea. We're not good at predicting the future at all. The vast majority of us are terrible at it. In fact, according to the psychologists, we just don't know. In other words, prophecy, if you want to be a prophet, it turns out to be a pretty tricky career. The stars and the bones and the crystal balls are rarely without error. They are not trustworthy guides, at least as far as history is concerned. And the biblical prophets that we have, like Malachi, like John the Baptist, they're preserved for us in the Bible because of the visions that they had, because of the oracles that they shared, because the things that they saw actually came to pass. In our story, the Christian story, the biblical story, Malachi turned out to be right. And so did John the Baptist. Yes, that's one of the reasons why they are preserved. You see, in the end, Advent is not about prediction at all. Prediction as to who's coming next, where are we going next, or when's the next thing going to happen. Instead, Advent is about expectation. Let me say that again. Advent's not about prediction. It is about expectation. As in, I have no earthly clue when God's reign of peace will come. But I will watch for it, and I will hope for it. And I will pray for it to be visible in plain sight to me when it does come. That's really what Advent faith is all about. That's the invitation that John the Baptist is making to us. In chapter 3 of Luke, Luke has told us about how God is moving in the eyes already of Mary, his mother, and her cousins Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 is the Christmas story. The baby of Jesus is born into the world. The inn was too full. They had to have the baby wrapped up in swaddling clothes in the manger. That's all in Luke chapter 2. And then Luke chapter 3, we pick up with John the Baptist. He's grown up, and he's preaching repentance along the riversides and countrysides of Judea. And not only just repentance, John's repentance is a repentance through baptism, a baptism which is supposed to be preparing his followers for the Messiah and the new things that God is about to begin. Did you hear all those names that I read? All those names, the emperor, the governor, the king. Luke is giving you so much information here. You're going to get history, prophecy, story, and gospel all in 6 verses. And Luke wants to build this sort of argument that he's making that we should be paying attention to Jesus and we should be paying attention to John the Baptist as we read through these gospels, because Luke wants us to actually grasp what the birth and arrival of Jesus meant for those who lived then and for those of us who are living now. Luke wants it all in plain sight. Advent in plain sight. No illusions, none at all. And so we get these details to hold our attention, to make us excited for the moment when the true identity of Jesus the Savior will be known beyond Mary or Joseph or the handful of other people that knew him as a child. And so, yes, even though peace is never stated in our text from Luke, I believe it is everywhere implied. Again, this is Peace Sunday, and we get a story about John the Baptist that's bigger than just the historical dating. You see, part of the other reason why Luke gives us all those touchstones is that though we are reminded that there wasn't a whole lot of peace in the time when John the Baptist went down by the river. Right? The Roman emperor is Tiberius. Right? The governor is Pontius Pilate. They're an occupied people. They're not really home when they're at home. Don't just get lost in the geography, you see, or in the politics, but note that their lives were under constant threat. The people that Luke was speaking to, that John the Baptist was actually preaching to out in the wilderness. And so we get the words from Isaiah in Luke's gospel. Every valley shall be raised, every mountain made low. The crooked pathway shall be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. You see, by quoting Isaiah, Luke is telling us that John the Baptist is paving the way for Jesus. And Jesus is the one who will pave the way for peace. Hear all those reversals. Every valley shall be raised, every mountain made low, the crooked pathway is made straight, and the rough places smooth. Yeah, all the things that are broken in the world, Jesus intends to set right. And where there is war, he intends to bring peace, just like he intends to raise the mount, to lower the mountains and raise the valley. Yeah, friends, that's what Jesus wants to bring. Peaceful reversals for all of us. And who couldn't use a little more peace? I admit it, I live a fairly boring lifestyle. About as excited as I get is like college football Saturdays. It's about as fired up as I get. And I'm very fortunate. My wife is healthy, my children are healthy, and they all love me and tolerate me. So it's a good life, and I mean that. But even I could use a little more peace. Even I could sometimes, even with everything going my way, the vast majority of the time. Lord knows history could, society and the world can use some more peace these days too. Lord knows that we all need more peacemakers than we have warmongers in our world. We could use more serenity and less conflict. See, Advent tells us that this promise and dream of God, Luke tells us that it's the proclamation of John the Baptist, and we'll find it in the life of Jesus. Luke tells us that Jesus is going to be a peacemaker. That's what Luke's agenda is. No wonder the angels shout to the shepherds on Christmas night, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill on earth. Gloria in excelsis Deo." There's a trap, though. There's a trap, perhaps, that comes in thinking that peace is easy and conflict raises, or that Jesus died for salvation, true enough, but he also dies for peace. Peace often comes, you see, with a heavy price. Sometimes we'll have to give up some things if we want to be peacemakers ourselves. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," in part because they are the ones that help us find smoother roads in history when we travel. But it's hard to be it's hard to be peaceful. It is. Like we said in our prayer of confession, we as a people love conflict far too much and peace far too little. I mean, we know all the things that are wrong in the world and on the earth. You know all the things that are wrong in your own homes that make peace something very, very hard to acquire and very hard to find and hold on to, of course, once you find it. Yeah, playing the part of peacemaker begins with being more peaceful and being more interested in peace ourselves. If not us, if not Christian people at Advent, then who? My good friend Jill Duffield, pastor at First Presbyterian Greensboro, has written a book on Advent and recently said, "The message of Advent is not one of superficial optimism, but rather one of tenacious hope. Jesus comes to us not because the world overflows with peace, but instead Jesus comes to the earth to shine light on those who sit in deep darkness." The more light that Jesus is allowed to shine upon our world, the more people will be able to see, and seeing the promise and vision of God, the more peacemakers we shall have. Yeah, may it be so. May it be so. May you, all of you, have peace this Advent. And may you find peace along the pathways of the peacemakers wherever you should live and whatever your circumstances may be. May the wonder of peace not stay hidden, but instead be in plain sight, because peace reverses the conflicted way that we see the world. No longer all folks just some form of winner or loser, but all humankind caring for one another. We lay our weapons down, we cast our envies to the side, and we train all people for the possibility of prosperity through peacefulness itself. Do you see what I see? I can see something like that. And for me, it's in plain sight. It's like this: every time a prophet closes his or her eyes and dreams, I believe they dream of peace. That's what I think they see. This great dream of peace, part of God's great dream of peace. Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say." In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, may we be blessed this day as we continue our Advent journey following the star towards the manger of long ago. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace to love and serve those around you. Go in peace on this second Sunday of Advent to live in hopeful expectation about what God will do next in your life and the life of the greater world. Now may the peace, the fellowship, and the love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and everybody you care about until we meet again. Amen.